Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chilling Coven. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Good.
How about you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well here. So you guys have heard, we have my two co-hosts here today. EJ, Leeson, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. Anything cool going on?
I am not sure yet. I almost died on my way to get here. But other than that, everything is great.
Okay, that was very morbid. Ross, I hope you have something else to give to us today.
I'm doing fantastic. I can't wait to talk about this show. This is amazing, and I can't wait.
And actually, when we were talking about this show, and I talked a little bit with EJ about what he thought of the first episode, but I didn't get to talk to you and what you thought of the episode, and what you had to say before actually kind of shocked me a little bit about what you think of this and Riverdale.
I really think it's better than Riverdale. Like, I'm a big Riverdale fan, but I just like it better. I don't know. Like, overall, like, I like both shows, but, like, overall, as a whole series, I don't know. From what I've seen for the first first episode.
We got a cheater here.
I like it. I really like it. And I can't wait to watch the whole thing.
Well, apparently I'm the only person that has stuck to their guns here and has not watched the second episode.
Well, EJ watched it too, he said, so.
Of course.
You're selling me out? You're selling me out in this podcast already?
Okay, so we have Tattletale Ross here.
You sold me out, man.
See that bus over there? You guys can't see it because we're in podcast world. Well, but EJ has literally gotten thrown underneath it.
Well, there's a...
And I don't even have a bus fare.
I don't either anymore.
There's a cliffhanger at the end. And EJ's like, I want to watch the next episode. I'm like...
There's always going to be a cliffhanger. It's 10 episodes.
I know, but I'm like, I do too. I want to watch it too.
And to be fair, I didn't watch the whole episode. I just watched what
happened. So you just watched the cliffhanger and you went through the whole episode.
I went through the whole episode.
So you're worse. You are worse, Ross.
I couldn't stand not watching it. Like, I like it that much.
Okay, so let's just kind of... jump into it here a little bit.
So today we're starting with chapter one, October Country.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but the title is actually a reference to the book by Ray Bradbury, and it's a collection of 19 macabre short stories. And so I thought that was really interesting right off the bat. I wanted to talk about that title. And I also want to be, like, before we jump into the show, I want to talk about the opening credits. Because we have beautiful illustrations.
Yeah, that. And what names pop up, too.
Right.
In the opening.
Yeah. So in these illustrations, by the original artist / creator, Robert Hack, which I was blown away. Once I saw these credits, I'm like, oh my God, the show has so much potential.
Yeah.
I was right on board.
Just from the opening credits.
Right. And one really cool thing that I liked, too, it says from Archie Comics, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see, like, a little Archie, but, like, comic book version of Archie, mm-hmm. and a comic book version of Sabrina. And I thought that was kind of cool.
And I like the names that pop up, like executive producer Greg Berlanti. Lee Tolan Krieger.
Right.
Directed by.
Exactly, yeah.
And you know, Roberto. You know.
Yeah. And this episode was written by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, and this episode was directed by Lee Tolan Krieger,
yeah.
who directed the first and second episode of Riverdale.
Yeah.
You know, season one.
So it shows we're using the same people.
Right. The same creative team.
That's what's cool about it.
That is behind Riverdale is now working on the show.
Nice.
Yeah, so go ahead. You could start talking about the movie
theater. I will start talking about the movie theater and how the show opens.
Right. Go ahead.
So the show opens at the movie theater.
Yep.
And Sabrina's doing the opening dialogue. And we've heard that before from the trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so they're kind of talk, her and her friends are kind of talking about the history of zombies and how they went from very slow to fast.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could kind of tell that it's going to be more of a modern setting right there. I know we had some kind of questions on if this would be in the past because of the cars that you were able to see outside the school in the trailer.
Right.
But the fact that they're talking about fast and running zombies kind of dates it, I think, more or less in the present. And you find that out a little bit later into the show.
Absolutely.
So when they're walking out, I'm not sure if you guys kind of caught it. I mean, they made a little bit of a deal on it. The jocks are kind of goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
When they're exiting the movie theater. And she bumps into Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
Right.
And she invites them to join them at Dr. Cerebus's, but...
Is that like a coffee shop?
Right. It's kind of like a Pops.
Kind of like the Pops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's her hangout.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Max for Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Or Central Perk for Friends.
Yeah.
Not that I watched Friends.
Or what's the place on The Flash? What's their hangout? The coffee shop?
Oh, Jitters.
I think it's Jitters,
right?
Jitters, I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Miss Wardwell declines, so you kind of see her driving, and she comes close to hitting someone that kind of looks like a teenager.
Yeah, and I love the music of this show. Because I'm a big CCR fan.
Oh, I know. I talked about that Rising a little bit, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the music.
Yeah.
I love all the music in the whole episode.
Oh, me too. I thought, once I heard that song playing, it really sets
the mood.
What is going to happen now.
Yeah.
And so she is driving. First off, Miss Wardwell, right out the gate, I'm like, I'm on board. Love her. She looks awesome.
Yeah. She looks so awesome. Cool. And when you first see her, she's kind of nice. She seems like she's a very nice teacher.
Very nice.
And then if you know what she becomes, what we think she becomes anyway, we kind of have an idea at the end of the show,
right?
Or the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Kind of makes that transformation a little bit more heartbreaking.
Right.
She might be a part of the Dark Lord or the Dark whatever, like the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the teenager anyway says, help me, but we cut to the Cerebus bookstore, and Harvey and Sabrina, and I don't remember who the other one is, but they're talking, I think it's Susie.
Yeah, Susie Putnam and Roz.
And Roz. They're talking about the Night of the Living Dead subtext, which was the movie that they were watching in the theater.
Yeah.
So then we get to see kind of the one scene again in the trailer. At the Spellman Mortuary with Harvey kind of doing the Night of the Living Dead. They're coming to get you.
Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I like that scene a lot. Yeah.
I did too. Now, one thing I really like is he handed her a necklace. I'm just kind of thinking if that might be some sort of a thing to come.
Like some weird omen?
Some weird thing, that might protect her in some way.
Yeah.
Without actually knowing it. It just seems like a really weird thing to do because... They keep making little references in it. Like, she'll just keep looking at it throughout the entire episode, which might just be like I don't know if I want to leave.
Right. It may be like a friendly reminder of that mortal world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we see more shots from the trailer with Sabrina dancing on the staircase. And
I like that scene.
That was great, too.
Was a good scene.
So then we go to the scene with Miss Wardwell, and she's with the teenage girl, and she's trying to figure out what happened to her. And the girl said she was attacked by the woods. And Miss Wardwell says there's also a witch hunt in Greendale the same year as Salem.
1692. Right.
Where 13 witches were hung, and they haunt the woods. And the teenager asks her, how do you know all this? And she said, well, I'm something of the town's unofficial historian.
Mm-hmm.
So she's asked about Sabrina, and the girl kind of turns demonic and says, no, I don't know her. But I know her bastard father.
Right.
So that is weird. She uses some sort of power and levitates scissors up and sticks them right in Mrs. Wardwell's neck.
And she,
down she goes.
She plops to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In the worst way, too. Immediately I was like, oh, man. Because for the short period of time we get to see Miss Wardwell, I really, really,
really cool.
liked her. Yeah. I think it's that the actress, though. I think
she is
so charismatic.
She really is.
I like the whole cast, the whole cast of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I love Ambrose.
Oh, I know. We'll get there. Yeah.
So we cut to Sabrina almost kind of figuring something's going wrong. She kind of awakes and checks out her calendar. You get to see how many days are left to her sweet 16.
Yeah.
And she looks out the window, a bat just kind of flies in through the window, which we've seen that in the trailer before.
Right. So the opposite omen.
Is it a crow or a bat?
It's a bat.
It's a bat.
Okay. I thought, because I'm thinking of the movie The Crow, like when the bat, like, you know, visits, like, the different places.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trailer footage from this show.
Oh, this specific episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they took it
from. It's riddled with pretty much the trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sabrina does kill that bat. We kind of went into that with the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Sabrina and Hilda are talking about the bat that flew in with Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
They say the body has to be cleansed before the dark baptism. So they're trying to, I guess, flush out all the toxins from her system.
Right.
So Zelda says that she has to pick her familiar. We kind of all know where that's going.
Right.
And
By the way, I have to talk about Zelda. Let's like the family really quick. Zelda, and I love Zelda. Like, I think she is so cool.
I like Hilda and Zelda. Yeah,
I like Hilda more.
I like Hilda more.
Hilda's, like, sweeter. Zelda's colder.
Yeah. Zelda's and much colder.
Zelda, even though she has this, like, cold personality, I actually dig it. Like, I love that. And then Ambrose is just, like, the king of cool.
He's so funny. I love his robes. He's so hilarious. He's so hilarious. Like, stuff he says, like, cousin, and, you know.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's so funny.
So, we have an answer for you, too, Ross, on what a familiar was.
Yeah, I want to know.
And,
what is it?
Zelda actually says they're goblins who have taken on the shape of animals. So they actually protect their witch.
Oh, I thought familiar meant like family. I thought it meant...
Well, it kind of is like family. Because they'll protect them at all costs.
Oh. And Sabrina kind of touches on that. Mm-hmm. That they protect the witch and the witch protects them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they protect their own.
Right. It's like a witch's pet. You know what I mean? Okay. But in
so like Salem is to Sabrina?
Exactly.
Like her.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So the weird thing is that she's not picking any type of animal that Zelda is throwing out. Sabrina does say that she's been practicing a ritual from the Demonomicon to see if someone wants to volunteer to be her familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But then we cut to a scene where she's burying the bat and she has a conversation with Ambrose about possible doubts about the dark baptism and what she's actually told her mortal friends so far.
Yeah, right.
And Sabrina doesn't think that Ambrose can truly understand because he's always been a witch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that Ambrose has been on house arrest for like 75 years.
Yeah, that's so funny when he says that. I like laugh so hard. I'm like,
yeah,
75 years.
Of the the reason, do you guys know the reason or no?
What he did? I read a lot of side stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I
don't know what he
because
did.
Because he almost blew up the Vatican. Him and like other people tried to blow up the Vatican, and so he is on house arrest for that. So
that's funny.
Well, after that, anyway, Sabrina's in the woods ringing a bell. She's doing the ritual that she was just talking about to get the familiar,
right?
To see if anybody wants to volunteer. And the three weird sisters show up as Ross has promptly and accurately names weird. And they harass her about being a half-breed.
Yeah.
And they warn her that she doesn't want what happened to her parents to happen to her. And then they end up putting a curse on her. And they just disappear.
Yeah. Automatically, I love them.
They're great. Like, they're awesome. They're so creepy and weird, but they're
Prudence,
so cool.
Prudence, who's like the leader of the three.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's going to like
I'm a
to be one of the Yeah, I think she's going to be a standout. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think Dorcas is going to be the standout, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Unlike some people, I only got through the first episode.
Yeah, Ross.
It was too hard not to watch. Like, I wanted to watch it so much.
But Ross was the only one that was adamant with me. Yeah, I'm not going to watch anything else.
I know. That's what I said because I didn't know if I'd like it or not. But, like,
I'm only going to watch the first one, right?
I had to watch more than one. I just had to. All right,
go ahead.
Anyway, Sabrina runs into the school and she's taking a shower. She's trying to wash the hex away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Susie, who says Jack's pulled up her shirt.
Yeah.
So Sabrina storms into Principal Hawthorne's office to tell him.
Yep.
But he says without names, there's nothing he can do, and actually suggests that she is putting him in a position of going on a witch hunt.
Yep.
Which Sabrina does not get very happy about that.
I do not care for that term. Yeah. I love when she says that.
I actually do too. That was actually really good.
Because, I'll tell you why he doesn't take them serious in that scene. Because they're football players. They're jocks. Like everybody in a high school, if you ever go to high school, they love the football players. And whatever they do, they get away with.
Yeah.
So. Man, I feel a lot of animosity coming from you, Ross.
That's true, though. That's true.
I hate football players.
That's true, though.
It's true.
It's all true. Right.
So like, it cuts to Harvey and Sabrina are walking, and she just says that she has to do something, and Miss Wardwell brings her into her office, and they discuss Principal Hawthorne. And Miss Wardwell says Sabrina should do something and lets her know that Principal Hawthorne is terrified of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to her trying to find an image of Hawthorne. Apparently she needs it for the spell.
Right. Which I'll touch on a little bit later, too. But go ahead.
So then we cut to Sabrina, who's with Harvey and Roz, and she talks about starting a club to protect women.
Yep.
And then they talk about her Sweet 16 on Halloween and how that's happening on an eclipse. Sabrina also starts off by saying then that she has plans with her aunts for them. So she would not be able to attend it. So then you see Miss Wardwell talk to her familiar about the Dark Lord's work.
Right.
It's a quick scene, but...
Yeah, she's talking to her raven.
Yep.
And I'll give his name and stuff later, because there's a little bit of info on that that I'll talk about in the pop cultures and Easter eggs and stuff. But, yeah, she is basically, like, all this is to help Sabrina get to where we need her to be for the Dark Lord. And her familiar is just like, wah, wah, talking to her. But, go ahead.
So, at the Spellman mortuary, Hilda says a young man was stabbed. And Zelda doesn't seem the least bit upset by that because she says that they need human blood for Sabrina's dark baptism.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to them talking to the parents, and they show a photo of the kid.
Right.
That's like the last thing you get to see is like a photo of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's going to play out a little bit bigger part later on because they made a big deal about that photograph.
Yeah, so the Kempers come there and they're basically like, our son was stabbed to death. Which is a pretty brutal murder.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't know why or, like, what happens. And they kind of gloss over it a little bit. Like, so I don't know if you're right. Like, I don't know if that's something that comes back that is going to play a bigger part, you know what I mean, in this season. But go ahead.
Kinkle tries to convince Sabrina to spend her birthday with them. And she won't tell him anything about it. She tells him she's moving and leaving Baxter High after Kinkle's grilling her.
Yeah, and he's all surprised because he never heard about it before.
Yeah, and he's like going after about what school, and she's like, oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that kind of seems a little bit shady.
Yeah.
So then she says, you know what, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to show you. So she takes him to the woods and she shows him the place where she was born. And she tells him that her birthday, she's going to be reborn with the dark baptism where she will become a witch.
She tells him she's half witch,
right.
And she says that she's going to have to move and go to the Academy of Unseen Arts.
Yeah.
So he gets mad, and she kind of gets a little flustered by it and does some kind of spell on him.
Yeah.
Kisses him, and he just totally has, like, short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
And forgets all
he totally
about
forgets
it.
About right. it. Yeah, all he remembers is, oh, we were talking about something. That's he says.
So then we cut to Sabrina and Ambrose, and they're talking about what she told Harvey, and she asked for Ambrose to help with a spell on Hawthorne.
Yeah.
So then we get to a scene where Sabrina tells Aunt Hilda she hates the Weird Sisters, and Zelda says that they're just jealous of her.
Right.
And Hilda wants to see what kind of a spell it is, because Sabrina is convinced that she has taken it away. So she cracks an egg, and Hilda said, nope, it's a blood curse.
Right.
So, and so Sabrina says that the Weird Sisters told her something different about her parents and how the parents didn't die from an accident.
And Anne believes.
Yeah. Right. And Aunt Zelda essentially says, well, they're lying. Right. But she gives like an ominous look to
Hilda. Right.
So you kind of have a feeling that that's probably not true.
Yeah, because Zelda's basically like saying to Sabrina, they're just jealous because you are the daughter of a high priest. And so they're jealous of you, right? Because they're nobodies. Like, they have no family. Like, they're whatever, right? And so they put this blood curse on Sabrina, but they also give her this information that maybe her parents died not by accident.
An airplane from Italy, right?
Right. Okay. So it might be something else that did this, right?
We cut to a bathroom scene, and Sabrina's in the bathtub, and then she kind of goes right into the woods, and she sees her parents with two babies. One has regular feet, the other one not so regular. Isn't it kind of like...
Yeah, I was really confused by this. So, like we said, we talked about this in the trailer, that she has this vision getting out of the bathtub. She's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, and she sees her parents.
Right. She sees her parents, and then she sees two babies laying there.
Yeah.
On this altar.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks, and both babies are alive, but for some reason she checks their feet.
Yeah.
And the one
is regular.
Regular. But the other one, his feet are all dirty, almost burnt. So I have no idea if that's supposed to be...
witch, maybe?
Like...
a choice between mortal or witch?
Yeah. Right. I think it's like, oh, your feet, like, are burned because you're selling your soul to the Dark Lord. Yeah. Versus, like, being immortal, pure, and nothing wrong with your feet. Or maybe she had a twin sister or something. Who knows? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe... But I don't know if it's that dilemma between the witch world and the mortal world. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I took away from it.
Could be. Yeah. So, we get a scene of Ambrose and Sabrina doing the spell on Hawthorne, and that goes immediately into Hawthorne awakened to spiders all over him and all over his apartment.
Right.
And he's just kind of screaming.
Poor guy.
We see Sabrina.
He didn't deserve that.
No, probably not.
Why can't she do that to the football players? Not the poor principal.
Yeah.
All right.
Good question. So Sabrina goes to her room, and she goes, oh, no. She looks and she sees her door open, or her window open, rather, and claws are there. And then you hear a dark voice that said, Sabrina, I heard you're calling in the woods, and I came. And there comes one of the favorites of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the cat Salem.
Right, yes.
The greatest.
Like we said before about Salem, originally in the comics, he didn't speak much.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until the TV show that made it popular where the familiar can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I believe everyone knows that in pop culture more so. And that, so with this show, I'm not really sure. They might walk a fine line between they can talk or can't talk. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if we have where Madam Satan, a.k.a. Wardwell, is talking to her raven, I believe that we'll see Sabrina in her and Salem talking.
Yeah, we'll get like a mix between them both.
Right.
Like a little mix.
Well, one person who doesn't understand Salem is Zelda, because Zelda is not happy with Sabrina for choosing it and can't figure out why she would choose a cat. And she says that...
In the name,
because she was like, why would you call him Salem? And she's like, well, I didn't. Salem named himself.
Right.
So she could obviously talk to him if she
knew
what
the name
was.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's like a witch bond where the witches can actually talk to their familiar only. Mm-hmm. Like, they can only communicate with their familiar, where like other familiars, like Madam Satan Wardwell's raven, can only talk to her, and other witches like would be like, "What does it say?" You know. Yeah. So,
But she talks about postponing the ceremony, and they argue about Harvey defiling her, and she's like, no, and like that never happened. And Zelda said, well, that's good because you need to be pure. And Sabrina just has some doubts about it. And Zelda said that her father almost got excommunicating for marrying her mother.
Right. Who was immortal.
Yeah. And Sabrina asked, well, why would she want to join that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And she's like, well, if he did that, well, why can't I marry a mortal? Or why can't I be with a mortal?
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh, well, that was the wrong thing to do. Or
yeah.
So then we get the person who always is seemingly to be there to give Sabrina good advice. I haven't found another point for him yet, but I haven't gotten as far as you guys. Ambrose, who just is there to give Sabrina good information. Yeah. That's it. Right. That's all he's been there for so far.
Yeah.
And he asks, he pretty much tells her that there's a place that will grant her the gift of knowledge, and that she has to go to the orchard, find the oldest tree, and pretty much it would give her the knowledge and make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Wardwell's familiar listening to the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. And then Wardwell, like the next scene is Wardwell says the Dark Lord would not like Sabrina not becoming a witch.
Right. So she plans on thwarting the whole trip to the orchard to stop her from eating that apple and getting the vision of whether she should or shouldn't walk the path of night.
Yeah.
So the next episode, or the next scene, is Sabrina finds Hawthorne is out, and the VP grants the club that Sabrina wants, which becomes Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Wardwell says that she was actually listed as a faculty advisor, most likely due to Sabrina, and she said that she's actually fine. She likes that. It's something that she would like to do. And she tells her she might be going to a private school because Miss Wardwell says to her, I get a hint that something's wrong. So Sabrina actually tells her a lot, and Miss Wardwell actually asks if it's about Harvey Kinkle. So that's kind of like an interesting little bit there, because she's already picked up on certain things that are going on.
Yeah, you can tell even from before, right? Like, when this episode starts, Sabrina has some sort of relationship that she does want with Miss Wardwell, because she actually invites her to go with her and her friends back to the bookshop to talk about the movie.
Yeah.
And Miss Wardwell is like, oh, no, that's okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I got
and
a like, great
why
papers.
Would you invite her, right? Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I just feel so bad for her because she's by herself up in that house. Mm-hmm. And so you could tell she maybe looks up to Wardwell a little bit. And then you see in the scene, now Wardwell looks completely different, because when we first see her, hair's up, she has glasses. Now she has her hair down, no glasses. She looks great. And so there's definitely a change in her. And I feel like Sabrina does see something there. You know what I mean? Like some kind of guidance from her, you know?
Yeah. So Ambrose is working on the kid that we had just seen that had died by getting stabbed.
Right.
And he shows Zelda and Hilda that he doesn't bleed.
Yeah.
And Hilda said that that's like a witch's mark.
Yeah, they think it's a birthmark, and then he shows that he won't bleed, doesn't bleed, and they're like, oh, that's a witch's mark.
I do like when Zelda's like, maybe all the blood rushed to his buttocks.
Yeah, I like that.
They determine it is a witch's mark, and that there are possibly witch hunters in the area who may have killed him, which Zelda immediately is like, well, now we definitely need her.
Definitely have to get her.
Into the coven, because she needs protection. It's interesting to like this dead person. I don't know his first name, and I just know it's Kemper. The Kemper's son is dead, and we see him possibly a witch without a coven who was hunted by witches, witch hunters, you know.
So the next scene we see, Sabrina is with Harvey, and they're driving to the orchard. When they get there, Harvey's pretty much looking for a pumpkin, he says, for a stoop.
Right.
So when she's walking through, she sees a scarecrow and she's trying to navigate a maze. And the scarecrow becomes alive and starts chasing her. And you got to figure out that it's Mrs. Wardwell that's like pulling the strings from.
Right. So she made this little voodoo doll and you see it like running after Sabrina.
Yeah.
And she's doing like some kind of hex over it or some kind of like spell over it to make it run.
Yeah, after she's Sabrina. Taking control of it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
This, I actually love that.
I did too, and the creature really gets close to her.
Yeah.
Right.
But then Salem saves the day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Comes
so,
to her rescue, yep.
Yep. Salem comes out of nowhere and rips it apart like this
regular Randy Orton, out of nowhere.
RKOs him and through the maze. And that's it for the scarecrow. 1, 2, 3. And then she's like, oh, Salem. Oh my gosh, what are you doing here? You know, and like, she's just like, she's like, good boy.
Yeah.
I actually love that scene a lot.
I do too.
Yeah.
So then we get to see Sabrina's walking to the orchard and she finds the oldest tree and it's creepy looking tree.
Yeah.
Kind of like the one from Sleepy Hollow that we were talking about in
right,
the trailer. Yeah. Which happens to be that one.
100%.
Because when she picks this one apple,
mm-hmm.
it's the only red one that's there. She picks it up and then everything turns red.
Yeah.
She sees the apple turn into like maggots and everything in it.
Right.
Yeah. I love that scene.
Then she just sees all these witches hanging.
Yes.
Which is like a really eerie scene. You see all the blood on her hands and the horned creature that we see a lot of in the trailer steps out of the tree.
Right. So the Malamalus, which is the apple that Ambrose told her about,
yeah.
has links to obviously like Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And so this forbidden fruit,
mm-hmm.
you bite into it, you may be able to get a vision that puts you on the right path,
mm-hmm.
like what you should do. So she bites into it, and this creature is getting closer and closer and closer, and it's awful. It's actually a really horrific and scary scene. And as soon as he's like within arm's length of her, she spits out the apple,
yeah.
and the vision is over.
Yeah, and doesn't she ask, like, in that scene, if she should do the baptism and be a witch? Doesn't she ask that?
Oh, no, she still just, like bites the apple.
Yeah.
She experiences all of this, and then she spits it out before this orange
creature.
That must
be from the second episode, Ross.
No, it's from the
Ross,
first one.
Ross, you bastard.
It's from the first one, because no, I just watched it before this. We did this.
But Harvey kind of alerts her. And that's where Kinkle sees Salem for the first time. And yes, Sabrina, where'd you find the cat? And she was like, oh, it's just a stray, I'm going to take him home.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how that...
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't see you as a cat person, but...
And in real life, she's actually allergic to cats. Yeah. Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina.
Oh, is she? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's like an inside joke or not, but yeah. So...
Hopefully it didn't bother her too much.
I don't think so. I think
okay,
they're
if Salem,
working around it.
If Salem goes off the show, I riot. So, one thing that was really interesting I found, the next scene, which is the last scene,
yes,
is Sabrina going into the Spellman mortuary.
Mm-hmm.
And Salem refuses to go in. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
He will not go in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Zelda and Hilda introduce Sabrina to Father Blackwood.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he says that Sabrina's been chosen personally. And Blackwood is Dark Lord Satan's representative, we figure out.
Right.
And he asks Sabrina if she's having doubts about signing the book and asks what he can do to convince her to sign. And that's where it ends.
Right. Yep. And immediately we see him and you get this eerie presence from him, for sure. So let's talk about some Easter eggs, because I have like a ton of Easter eggs. And then we'll get into our opinions on this show.
Yeah, then I want to talk about what I like about the episode.
We'll do what you like about the episode and then we'll do the opinions.
Right.
Okay.
So in As far as Easter eggs and references, here we go. In the credits, we get a glimpse of the old school Sabrina and Archie from the comics. At the Paramount Movie Theater, Sabrina and friends are watching Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. We also see posters for Them Freaks and Christopher Lee's Taste the Blood of Dracula. Mm-hmm. Then we hear Bad Moon Rising by
CCR.
Right. And the song was also featured in An American Werewolf in London. But it also is a song about foreshadowing for Miss Wardwell's fate.
and CCR is in Dexter, too.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that. Yeah. Then we got one of the coolest Easter eggs, I thought. She's like, well, tomorrow I'll take you to Dr. Saperstein, and we'll get you all fixed up. Now, that doctor is a reference to the film Rosemary's Baby. He was like the doctor who was helping her along in her pregnancy. Now, they're coming to get you, Barbara, as actually said by Harvey, and it is a line from Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. Sabrina plays Be My Baby by the Ronettes mm-hmm. as she's dancing up the stairs. I love that song.
That's a good song.
By the way.
That's
a good song. Zelda calls her dog that was deceased Vinegar Tom. So we get a brief reference. She's like, oh, like my familiar, and one that would get along with Vinegar Tom, right? So Vinegar Tom, which is a reference to a play written by Carol Churchill about witchcraft in the 17th century. We also get Ambrose saying Penny Dreadful for your thoughts, which Penny Dreadful were...
The show? Penny Dreadful?
Well, yeah, but the show is actually based off these popular serial literature produced during the 19th century in the United Kingdom that only cost like a penny. And they're all like different types of stories.
Oh, Penny for your thoughts, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, Penny for your thoughts, but he said Penny Dreadful
yeah.
for your thoughts.
Yeah.
Then we get a reference to Jekyll and Hyde and... Ambrose calls the ants Jekyll and Hyde
yeah.
because they are so...
I could see that.
Yeah, different.
I was going to put that in my notes.
And, of course, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is a story, one of our favorite stories. Mm-hmm. Then all the character names are kind of linked to the Salem witch trials in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Salem the cat.
Platinum.
Right, Putnam,
Hawthorne.
Dorcas, Hawthorne, Wardwell. Mm-hmm. These are all names of either people accused or, you know, guilty mm-hmm. or whatever, linked to the Salem witch trials. We have Sabrina. Oh, this is one really cool thing. So during the lunch, their lunch period, Sabrina has an Archie's thermos.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. If you look close at the...
Thermos? Archie's
yeah.
thermos?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so then Stolas, which is Wardwell's familiar, the raven, is the great prince of hell, knowledge of poisons, herbs, and stones. Hmm. That is what Stolas means, if you look it up. Nice. But that is the name of her bird. But it also says that it either comes as a man... a raven, or a long-legged bird. So, pretty neat. Then we hear the song, I Put a Spell on You, which is a song played during the Hawthorne curse.
Was that originally by?
It's like Howlin' Jack something, I forget.
CCR did a cover of that, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
But and it's more, probably the most famous usage
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
Is in the movie Hocus Pocus with that
yeah,
about
yeah.
the witches
yeah.
coming back.
Yeah.
yeah. Now, this is something I read. We see the shoes on the wall, like the different high heels on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article stating that these are tokens for anyone Zelda hexes. So, she like, they're shoes belonging to people, like, she hexed or whatever. So, I don't know if you noticed that, like, Sabrina's, like, walking to her room. You see all these, like... shoes on the wall. And yeah, so that's like one thing I read. We hear the song Atomic by Blondie, Hurdy Gurdy Man by Donovan.
Oh, I like that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was it by, but I like that.
Right.
I heard it before, but I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, it's by Donovan, who more famously did the song Season of the Witch. Oh, okay. It must be the season of the witch. Yeah. So he did that.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I thought that corpse kind of looks like KJ Apa. Did you guys?
Oh, with the red hair.
Yeah.
I actually kind of thought the corpse looked like Chick a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, if you watch it again, it kind of looks like Chick in some of these scenes.
That is
crazy. From the Black Hood.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, we'll step on over to some notes from our friendly neighborhood witch.
Which is some of my favorite notes, just because I don't know any of this stuff.
I don't either.
So, as mentioned in the trailer, Absit Omen is used to express the hope that a reference to something undesirable should not foreshadow its arrival or occurrence. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the bell reference when she's summoning.
She's trying to summon a familiar.
Right. A graven image is an idol. Don't make yourself an image. It's something when she rips out Hawthorne's...
the picture.
Right. She's like, a graven image. Mm-hmm. And that's referencing that. So then... there's more. When Harvey is bringing Sabrina home, the light post outside the Spellman home has three lights. Now, perhaps this is to honor the goddess Hecate, usually depicted in triple form. She is a goddess of magic, crossroads, ghosts, and necromancy. There are carved pumpkins on the porch. Traditionally, this was done to scare off evil spirits. The legend began in Ireland with a man named Stingy Jack, who once tricked the devil. When he died, he was not allowed in heaven, and the devil turned him away from hell, giving him a piece of burning coal and a carved turnip as a lantern, and forced him to walk the world forever. Miss Wardwell says 13 witches were hanged in Greendale in 1692. This was the same year as the Salem witch trials, and the number 13 is notoriously unlucky.
Yeah.
The girl who kills Miss Wardwell and then takes on that personality.
Teenager.
Right. She actually, is Madame Satan. But she dips her fingers in Miss Wardwell's blood and kind of...
does like a swirling motion, right?
Right, yes. And so many Aztec rituals involve the shredding of blood, since the Aztecs believe the gods use their blood to create the universe.
Hmm.
Yeah. Then she recites a phrase in Latin. Many texts of the Middle Ages were in Latin, but there is a theory that speaking words in their purest form has more power. I could not translate the whole phrase as it was subtitled, but the first part, Dominus Parta, means Lord or Master, and the last part is Ad Eo Creo Facium, which means, and create the face. So, obviously, Madame Satan, for those who haven't read the comics, when she comes back from the dead, she's known to be a succubus. But she is this faceless person who then goes around, steals the faces of other women who are either beautiful or in need to get close to Sabrina. So then the herbs that Hilda mentions, rosemary is for protection. Agrimony is for protection and repelling hexes. John the Conqueror root is for luck and success, based on a legend of a man named John who fell in love with the devil's daughter. They ran away together, leaving their magic powers behind in this planet so that the devil cannot find them, which is very representative of Sabrina, what she wants to do with Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Tannis root is a fictional herb mentioned in the film Rosemary's Baby. So, as I mentioned before, there was another reference to Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
When the Weird Sisters are cursing Sabrina, one of the destructions, Sabrina calls them succubitches, a variant of the word succubus, which is a demon in female form that seduces men and causes madness and death, which I feel like in the comics, Madame Satan is pretty much like this with all men. She kind of hates men, especially Sabrina's father. So when Sabrina mentions a graven image, she takes a picture of Principal Hawthorne. It's the next best thing. If you can't get personal concerns like hair or fingernails from the subject, you are spellcasting. Ambrose says, my grimoire is your grimoire. Grimoire is a book of spells.
My book of spells is your book of spells.
Right. Yeah. Midnight is the witching hour. Yeah. Many witches consider the time between midnight and 3 a.m. to be the witching hour, and the time between 3 a.m. and sunrise to be the devil's hour.
Okay.
So, though in the film Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Minerva says, now you know how dead time works. Dead time lasts for 1 hour, from half an hour before midnight to half an hour after midnight. The half hour before midnight is for doing good. The half hour after midnight is for doing evil. Hmm. Seems like we need a little bit of both tonight. We see Hilda using an egg. To divine health or hex condition is normally common in many traditions. Hilda prescribes salt water baths, which is to purify and remove negative energy, and reversing candles and dual colored candles used to send curses back at the caster, meaning if she does this, it could go back to the Weird Sisters. Apples are associated with Eve, but also the several goddesses. If you cut an apple in half horizontally, you can see a star in the center where the seeds sit. And that's in reference to the Malus, when Sabrina's going to the orchard to pick that apple. And then finally, the club the girls form is named Wicca. The word was first used in 1962. It now describes a pagan religion based on the ideas of Gerald Gardner, known as the father of Wicca. He called it the craft of the wise. So, there is that. And now, did you guys want to talk about Ross? Go into your notes, bud.
I feel like Sabrina in this episode, her character, I feel like she's just a really likable character. And the girl who plays her is just like a really amazing actor. Is this the first thing she ever did?
No, she was in Mad Men.
And then I love the music of this show.
I agree. I thought not counting the theme, but lot of the music
was great. And I really like the writing of this on this episode so far, you know. And I think the whole cast is really good.
Right. I think so, too.
I like the
whole cast. A couple of standouts for me, I would say, were Ambrose.
Agreed.
Wardwell.
Agreed.
And
the Weird Sisters.
Prudence. Yeah, from the Weird Sisters. I'd say
Dorcas.
And then, of course, the aunts were, outstanding.
Her aunties, yeah. Yeah. And everybody, and I think Ross Lynch did a really good job.
Actually, yeah, he was a lot of fun too.
Yeah,
he was really good.
And her other friends,
right? Yeah, I just feel like for me the standouts. I feel like Ambrose,
came strong.
Yeah. I think Wardwell and
Salem the Cat.
Yeah. Of course,
and I like the scene when Harvey gives Sabrina the necklace. I feel like this is such a special scene.
Yeah,
and, I like that too. And I just love how dark the show is, and I feel like the best platform was to put it on Netflix. I feel like if it was on cable, it wouldn't work.
Really?
I just feel like it's a perfect platform to put it on.
I guess so.
I haven't seen anything yet that would have disallowed it from cable, but I have a feeling that we haven't seen it yet scenes that might do that.
Right.
It's just the first episode. It's just the pilot.
I feel like how dark the show is, though, it wouldn't be on cable. I don't know. That's just what I think.
It walks a really fine line between some, borderline witchcraft and stuff, I don't know. Again, which people look
you
at.
You may know more than both of us.
Right.
Because EJ is one scene ahead of me, and you are a whole episode ahead of me.
Yeah.
True.
And then I love Sabrina's aunties. You know, I think they're both really good actors and they're really cool. I feel like they're like one of the two best actors in the show, other than like Ambrose and Sabrina.
Right.
But like they're up there, I feel like.
Yeah, the aunts, I think Hilda is hilarious.
Yeah.
In a sweet way. Yeah. And I think Zelda is hilarious in the stern way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how one supports Sabrina a lot, Hilda. And then the other one, you know, is just tough on her. But
right. She's the aunt that has to say that.
They both support her, yeah. But one supports her over the other.
They support her in different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One's like, I understand. Like, more. Right. She kind of gives in to Sabrina's.
Yeah.
Whatever Sabrina wants, where the other aunt is trying to raise her.
You kind of need both of them in your life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Good cop, bad cop. Good witch, bad witch.
Yeah. And then
bad cop routine.
And I like the scenes with Sabrina and Ambrose.
Yeah.
I think they work really well together in the scenes, and I like how Ambrose supports her.
Right.
Just like how he is like with her and everything.
I actually really dig the idea of a character not being allowed to leave a certain area.
Yeah.
I think that is a lot of fun to play around with.
Oh, how Ambrose doesn't leave.
Yeah, like area. I feel like him being confined to the mortuary
for 75 years.
It's kind of funny.
On house arrest.
I don't know. It's kind of funny and kind of like.
Yeah, that's why he wears a robe, because he doesn't go anywhere.
Right. but go ahead, brother.
And then I love the weird sisters. They're freaky looking, but likable at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, like,
did you get that was likable about them?
They're just cool. Like, I don't know. They're fun. They're weird looking.
They curse on her.
I know. They're still cool. They're still cool.
They are cool.
As actors, like.
I like Prudence. I think she's cool.
Dorcas. That's going to be like the thing throughout the entire show.
You're going to be like, Dorcas, Dorcas, Dorcas.
Damn right. I'm
Prudence,
Dorcas,
Prudence,
Dorcas.
Prudence.
And then I like Sabrina's friend, Roz. And I like Brianna's love and support for her friend Susie.
She's
with her and
everything. Yeah. I do too.
And then I love the scenes of Sabrina and Harvey. Those scenes are some of my favorites in the episode.
Okay.
So far.
Okay.
And then I like Sabrina's idea to start a supportive group for Susie.
Yeah.
You know, all that. I think she shows her concern for her and she cares about her.
Right.
You know? And then I think it's pretty awesome that Sabrina lives at a funeral home.
Oh, I know. Me too.
I think that's cool.
I think that that setting is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like the scene when Sabrina and Harvey when Sabrina tells him that she's a witch, you know? Like, I like that scene.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's about it. That's pretty much all I have.
So. Oh, all right. That sounds good. So does anybody else have anything else here? I don't know that we'll have a lot of time to do any plugs, but
yeah.
Right. I know. I just want to say really fast, I think for me watching this show going forward, some of the stuff I'm looking forward to is seeing Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. I like Ambrose and the Weird Sisters, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know. How about you, Ross?
I'm looking forward to...
He's looking forward to episode three. Yep. There it is. Episode three.
I'm just looking forward to...
Great minds think alike. Okay. That's what I was saying, too. I'm looking forward to episode three while you guys are stuck on season two.
Episode one. Yeah, episode two. No, I'm just looking forward to what they're going to do with the show. Just like what direction they're going to go in and how much they pull from the comics. I didn't read the comic yet, but when I do, and... I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the show, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
Part one.
I will keep my opinions a secret up until the second episode, because now they can't be pure because other people have already infiltrated them.
Well, I do want to say one thing I was a little disappointed by. I mean, like, I love the show. I liked it even better the second time around.
Yeah.
Since we're saying things that we're disappointed in, I will go on.
All right.
Salem not talking. Super disappointed in that so far.
And
he'll talk more. I know he will.
Eh, I don't know.
He will. If he doesn't, I mean,
whatever. Well, maybe you know. You're on season or episode 2. I haven't got there yet. Yeah. But I have a feel. I'm doubting it right now.
Yeah.
I don't like that so far. I've had disagreements with people I know that have watched the first episode.
Yeah.
I don't like some of these goofy camera techniques that they're doing. I don't know what you're laughing at. It just doesn't tickle my fancy. I don't know. Like, I'll watch them, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know why every scene's got to be blurred. Like, I don't know if they're filming for action or what.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if they're filming. Even the scene when they're like, doing a close-in on Miss Wardwell.
Right.
She's totally, like, blurry. And I'm like, are you trying to do this? Or is there just a camera malfunction? What is going on? That I didn't like.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not going to nitpick.
I don't think they'd put it out if they had a problem with the camera. Wouldn't they just redo it or re-record it? Or
that's not always
true. No, it's a creative choice he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's
right.
More than likely,
it's not like an accident.
I thought he meant like they made a mistake and they just put it out like...
No, one thing, I did like it a little bit more after talking...
Get this camera in focus.
I did like it a little bit more after watching it the second time.
Right.
Someone had pointed it out that it could be a sign of weird things that are going on or that are coming. So when I was able to see it in that context, I liked it a little bit more. But I still don't understand why everything had to be blurred out. But it was just a weird creative choice. But that being said, I mean, overall, I liked it a lot more the second time I saw it.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of it the first time I saw it, I'll be honest. And the second time I saw it, I liked it a little bit more. So hopefully that'll continue on into the second episode, which I can now watch as Ross goes through the entire freaking season.
No, I'll let you go through the whole season.
Yes, he will.
He's on episode 6.
He's already on episode 6.
I'm only at the beginning of 3. I didn't even watch 3 yet.
But, of course, just one more thing. Definitely want to thank our friendly neighborhood witch for helping us out.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
With everything.
Yeah, and the one thing I didn't like in this, it was I wish there was more time spent leading up to Madame Satan, like her returning, going up to Wardwell. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I wish a little bit more from the comic was used to set up her story. But I understand for pacing issues, and it is Sabrina, it's not Madame Satan.
It's not Madame Satan.
But, like, I wish there was a little bit more of the lead-up to that whole thing happening. But I guess as a surprise, like, people who haven't read the comic, like, that's a surprise. Oh, my God, they just killed her off. I thought she's a lead, you know? So, to me, yeah, I think that's the only downfall for me. Other than that, I think
otherwise we're all on the same page with it here, that we like what we saw in the first episode.
Yeah.
So anything else you guys have to say?
No.
Okay. So we just have one thing to say.
Time to fly!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.